B-Pod Studios.
Mike Missinelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mike, he misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. Well, what did we say yesterday? What were we saying yesterday on how they had to play, right? All of a sudden, bang, they do it. It's the Mike Missinelli Show, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio. On 97.5 The Fanatic, on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Was it that hard, folks, to change the script? Was it that hard? I'm sitting here watching the game. What we were saying yesterday is you got to play. You got to engage. You got to be active. They put effort on defense. Third quarter, I don't know whether it took a screaming match by the head coach or not. Whatever it was, they knew what they had to do. They put effort. They re-strategized on switches. They didn't leave guys open on islands to get jump shots. They took the heart out of their guards who were flying all over the place in game one. A little effort from Ben Simmons, who realized that he had to attack, and he had to attack early. And that when he went, instead of waiting for the defense to set up, put your foot on the gas and get to the basket. They got Embiid down low. They got Ennis in the game specifically to disrupt what the Nets were doing on the perimeter. Was it that difficult? The change from one game to the next is mind-boggling me. You saw now what the better team is, right? And I said yesterday, even though they lost that first game, they were still going to win this series. And I predicted they would win last night pretty easily because the line was 8. But they had to do fundamental things that they did. And what I saw last night, and I don't want to go overboard, but I get certain impressions. Now, after game one, the impression I got was there's no way they're still going to lose the series. But I can't believe that's the way they played. The impression I got after game two was that the dominance, what they displayed, taking away the New Jersey, the Brooklyn Nets' strengths, took away a little bit of their heart. I saw in the Brooklyn Nets players' souls, in their eyes, in their body language, oh my, we're outclassed. Now, I don't know if you saw that, and I hope I'm not making a leap. They might win one more game. This is a 6-game series with the Sixers moving on. But all it took was a little bit of engagement, a little bit of effort. Even Tobias Harris got engaged last night. But it was Ben Simmons who got engaged. He was the key to the whole thing. He got the ball. He went with the ball. He got it to the basket early. He opened up things. And they shot the ball well. They found a way to get J.J. Redick shots instead of running in to where the defense wanted him to run in. He ran the opposite way and got open shots. Tyrone, you saw the game. I saw you on Sixers Outsider. There's not much more to say other than the Sixers put forth some effort, and when the better talented team puts forth effort, they're going to win the game 10 times out of 10.
Absolutely. The Nets in the first half shot 10 of 23 from 3, mm-hmm. and they were still behind. So I kind of knew in the second half there's no way they can keep shooting at that pace, and they made 0 threes in the third quarter. They ended up making something from 4th in garbage time once it was all the backups in. But there's a chasm in talent between these two teams. And I don't know if this Sixers talent can be at the top level all the time, but I'm starting to wonder again, talent-wise, if this coach can figure some stuff out it's hard to beat a team that can go put 140 on you. It's just hard to keep up with a team like that, and they have the ability to do that.
They were overwhelmed, the Nets were, last night. And when you get overwhelmed, you start doubting yourself. Hey, I don't know if we're good enough to beat this team. They figured out what we were doing in game one. Now what do we do? Ben Simmons shackled their main guy last night because he wanted to put some effort defensively in. He didn't put any effort in the first game. And for him to, like, you know... I don't look, he didn't realize it. He certainly had to realize that he put in an effort, didn't put any effort in game one. And last night he had a sarcastic comment about the putting the cup in the ear because it, you know, he was thinking about the booze in game one. You deserve to get booed in game one. And the whole team was a disgrace the way they played. You showed some effort. You shut down your guy, the guy you played in high school with. You showed a little pride, a little personal pride. And you played harder than you played in game one. And that carried on through everybody in that lineup that came in that game. And they finally, as I suggested yesterday, you can't play TJ McConnell in the rotation. And they didn't. They put him in 10 minutes ago in garbage time when they were up like 30, and it didn't really matter. They used the guys that they needed to use. They used Ennis in a defensive capacity, and they needed to do that on the perimeter. Butler, Tobias played a little better defense starting in the third quarter. Simmons was great the whole game. And so now the doubt, I think, has been removed at least a little bit in the minds of Philadelphia 76ers fans. Because last night was one of those games. You know, in the first half, you go, oh, well, this team's going to give them trouble again. And then all of a sudden, boom, you saw what a better team was. And all it took was a little effort. And a coach reading a riot act, and maybe he, you know, they were shocked by it because he doesn't read the riot act, but it was necessary last night. It's like, yeah, appeal to their personal pride. Dude, we can only do so much strategizing. You got to make it happen. You got to get around these screens up top, or you got to give us help defense. And that's what they did last night. They got through screens, and when they didn't, they helped. And they didn't give them open shots last night. They reduced the Nets to nothing last night. So now what are we thinking?
I'm with you.
Six games?
Six. It could be five.
You think they could sweep?
They could. I want to see how game three goes. If they win by double digits, they win in five. Because I think they may have taken that team's heart. When the coach after the game isn't saying, not talking about what he has to do different. Yep. Instead, he's talking about the referees. That means he's probably out of ideas.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what the Nets coach did.
The Nets did what they did to win the game, and that it was the best that they could have done to win that game. Last night, the Sixers didn't allow them to do it. You saw the dominance of one team over the other. So I don't think there could be anybody who doubts the Sixers are going to win this series now. I know it's only one. People go, it's only one game, Mike. I want to hear from you people. I want to hear from what you saw last night. Now, if they shut down their effort, obviously they can get beat by the Nets. But when they actually engage, and all of them are engaged to say, okay, this is now the playoffs. It's time for us to engage defensively and do the right things offensively. They got Embiid away from the perimeter last night. They did things that they should have been doing all along. So I'll give the coaching staff credit for an adjustment in game two. At the same time, I slam them for not adjusting in game one. Because the game plan last night should have been executed in game one. And that's the only thing that perturbs me, that they gave away a game. All right, so we'll talk about it. The Phillies last night lose, and our minds aren't on the Phillies right now. They probably should be a little bit, because Aaron Nola is not the same Aaron Nola. And I don't know what it is, but if your ace is not going to deliver for you, you're in big trouble. No matter how good your offense is, that was the one guy you thought you could rely on, and he's just not hitting his spots. I don't know, it's arm angle or whatever it is with him, but he's not the same pitcher, and they've got to get him back to where he was, or this is big trouble, because then you're going into every game doubting if your starting pitcher can hold the other team, no matter if you're going to score six runs or not. All right, we'll talk about it. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. It is the Mike Missanelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We will be joined. We're doing the TV side at 3 o'clock. We'll be on at 3 o'clock, right, Tyrone, today?
It could be
longer.
It could be sooner. It could be 2:30.
Could be sooner?
Yeah,
because NBC Sports Philadelphia right now is, what are they doing?
They're carrying the 2026 announcement about the All-Star game being in Philadelphia.
Oh, that's right. It's at Independence Hall, the big live, because Rob Manfred was in last night, and there's a big ceremony over there, so they're covering that live.
Yeah, they're going to make big announcement. And the plan is, the reason they announced it so early, just so people are clear, they're going to try to get all the All-Star games in Philadelphia that year. So get baseball first, get NBA, get NHL, get them all in Philadelphia to celebrate the country's birthday that year.
All right, cool. So we'll carry on the radio side. I want to hear from you today and what you saw last night and what you think it means for the rest of the series. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show, 610-622-0975. We're back after this. All right, it's 217, Mike Mussinelli Show. The 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon, Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Time to start the Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Attention all landscapers. If you're looking to repower a zero turn or a walk behind mower, Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Miss Natalie.
Thank you, Mike. Today's poll, how many games will it take for the Sixers to beat the Nets? Early voting, 32% says 5 games, 57% say 6 games, and 11% say 7 games. So, 6 games in the win.
There
in
you
the
go,
lead.
6 games. We heard from all the bitchers and moaners after game one. I mean, we were just, our phones were just off the hook, right? We didn't have an open phone the whole game. Because people like to bitch and moan when they see something that's displeasing. Well, last night was very pleasing. And I want to hear what you have to say about that part of it. All right? We're so used to ripping into Ben, ripping into Brett Brown, ripping into Tobias. And when we do, it's deserved. But last night, the Sixers changed some things up. They adjusted. They should get points for doing that. Right? They had to do certain things in that game. And they did them. And in doing so, I believe, took the heart completely out of the Brooklyn Nets. I could be wrong. This could be a 5-game series. I could be wrong. Maybe it goes 7. I don't know. Maybe the Nets have a little life in them. But when you get pounced like that, and you've got nothing else to go to, when the Sixers took away your strengths, it's then just a matter of playing the same way. Playing as hard. Rubbing out off those screens. Beating those screens up top. Ben attacking early and often. Getting the break going more. There's nothing they can do about that. They're a smaller team. You can pound them down low. When you pound them down low, you can kick out and get 3 balls going.
I agree with everything you're saying, Mike. And I'm troubled a little bit that we're still this way.
Well, what way?
We are much more comfortable complaining.
Well, we are. But why? Last night, listen, the complaining we did, we can almost pat ourselves on the back. The complaining we did about game one, they executed in game two. We're all screaming. They need to do this, this. Well, they did that last night, right? So now how do you feel? Let's go to Frank on a cell. Frank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frank.
I've been watching Sixers playoff games since Wilt Chamberlain. So it's a back and forth, and it's really a chess match between the coaches. So what Brett Brown and his crew finally figured out is stuff the court with big, long human beings. If you want to kill their speed, don't give them any space. And they were inspired to chase after them. That took away the only thing the Nets, who are Nets, had.
They had the same 5 on the floor in game one, but you're right, they weren't engaged. Yeah. They weren't engaged.
They were engaged. They weren't filling the space.
They weren't playing hard enough. Ben Simmons was not playing hard enough. Ben Simmons deserved to be booed in game one.
I agree with that. But his lineups, sitting TJ was critical. Get him the hell off the court. He can't keep up with those little
guys. Well, I think they finally have realized that they can't play TJ McConnell in a playoff series.
How long does it take for that evidence to show up? Now, here's the big key. I think the next game is the biggest and most important one. So what are the Nets going to do to counter the fact that we have so many big, athletic, capable guys?
There's not much the Nets can do because they're a perimeter team that relies on making plays off the perimeter. They don't have anybody that's going to hurt you inside. So if you take that away, all they do is screen. In game one, they were set one screen getting open looks. The Sixers took that away last night.
They did. But I think this is a challenge to the Nets coach to see what he can do to counter the size and the disappearance of any rule.
Yeah, he needs Jason Kidd and Kelvin Martin, those guys, to do that now. You know what I'm saying? When the Nets were good, that's what he needs. But they're you know, they are what they are. They're a quick, athletic, young, hungry team on the perimeter. But in the third quarter, finally it kicked in. They allowed them to get some threes in the first half. And then finally it kicked in. And I don't care why it kicked in, whether it was Brett Brown or whether it was personal pride. It's like, enough now. All right? We got to engage a little more energy on defense, because that's all defense is about. If you're an athlete, you're in the NBA, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to play defense. And that's what they did last night. They took away the perimeter. And all of a sudden, the Nets are going, blah, 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 blah. Well, what do we do now? This is the only way we had to score. T-Love in Collingdale. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. T-Love.
Yo, Mr. Nelly.
What's up, T?
Hey, man. I'm so happy right now about this game. And especially the play of the two people that I've been the most critical of. One, Ben Simmons, goes without saying.
Mm-hmm.
Aggressiveness, fearlessness, you know what I mean? Showed heart. And even times when he got stuck, he was able to look over the defense and not make a sloppy pass or do something stupid.
He was determined, T-Love, to attack last night. The word attack is all you have to use with him, because that's what he did. And he didn't do that in the first game. And so for him to be oblivious to the fact that people were dissatisfied with his game, it rankles me a little bit.
Well, the thing, and here goes number two. Not a player, but the most important person in the locker room, the coach.
Mm-hmm.
He showed some balls. He showed these guys, when it got to the point after halftime, down by one, they started playing a little lackadaisical, going back into the old habits.
Yep.
What did he do? He coached. He actually coached. He got, like Jimmy Bucket said, I love it. You know what I'm saying? I like it when the guys...
It was unusual, which tells you he doesn't do that a lot. And now that he used it up, I hope he can bring it back later for a more important game. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to need that boost against Toronto in the second half.
Well, look, as long as he coaches, I mean, these guys need to be taught the right way. I mean, we talked about it before. You said it couldn't be done. You know, you can't yell at the guys. You can't do it. Because I was screaming about, you got to kick the water cooler over. Coach got to show some emotion.
Well, sometimes when it's unexpected, he's not the type of guy that shows emotion. So when it comes out of nowhere, it's like that guy in Bull Durham who threw the bats in the shower. You scare them. And all of a sudden they go, oh, wow, I didn't see that before from him. We got to play.
Well, look, he got on people, like Jimmy said.
Mm-hmm.
He got on the people that he needed to get on, and they did exactly what they were supposed to
do. But listen, the whole game was Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons in attack mode early on, and then Ben Simmons defensively in the third quarter was how the Sixers won this game. And, I hope to God he stays at that level. There's no reason why he should be playing like he played in game one. So hopefully he's turned a corner. And maybe he had a talk with himself. And he said, you know, I'm not going to give in to these people who are booing me, but they're right. I'm never going to acknowledge that they're right, but I got to attack. So here we go. From the jump, when the ball got off the glass, he had it in his hands in transition, and he was determined to attack. And he was determined to beat the defense before they were able to wall him up. That's all you got to do it.
You know what
and
else?
Then you got to do that. Like they scored on a couple pick and rolls with him, with lower pick and rolls, which they have to do with him more.
Yeah, start him off closer. Another thing they did, which I thought was smart, was everybody on the team got a shot before Embiid. And I thought that was important because a couple guys were struggling. So Ben got himself some. He got JJ a couple touches. Tobias was cold early. He got him a couple touches. He got Butler touches. Then with Embiid, because Embiid can get his whenever Embiid needs to get his.
Right.
I thought that was smart, and that was him being a point guard managing things. Let's get these guys that are struggling the ball. Mm-hmm. I think that comes from him, too. I got to give him credit for that.
And here's the encouraging thing. They rung up almost 150 points without any significant offensive contributions from Butler last night. They didn't need Butler last night. Ben ran the show, and you saw how well-oiled that machine was.
Yep.
So that's the depth they have in this lineup.
And that's where they're different than last year. Yeah. The ability to do this, even once, last year's team wouldn't have been able to do that. That was different.
Now, I hope that, like, he... See, once you use that trick, that yell, scream at halftime, you know, the players have a tendency, if he does it again, no, here go this silly man again.
Like Ray Rhodes. They tune you out after a while.
Silly man. You know? All right, let's go to Chuck in North Carolina. Chuck, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chuck.
Mikey, man.
What's up, Chuck?
Well, I got an eat crow like you did with Tiger Woods. Remember I told you I hope he chokes and I didn't like him. I caught myself listening to the last six holes. I was working. I had my earbud in and I it was much here.
It was a golden moment for the game of golf and, in fact, sports history.
Well, I think it's not... To me, I'm still not excited for Tiger, but I'm excited for
I'm totally thrilled for him. It's a golden moment, man. History.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. As a sports person, it was great for sports. He is great for
it sports. It was. Fantastic. The world loves him, is what I found out. The question I will never be able to answer to my deathbed will be why. But, I'm okay with him winning the Masters because he played brilliantly. And I love brilliant play.
And sometimes becoming a father can change your entire life. It changed mine, you know, and maybe being a dad changed his.
He was a father when the ex-wife rammed his back windshield with a 9-iron.
Well, she also married a man richer than him after him, so, you know.
Well, good for her.
I know.
She's happy.
Well, anyway, I'm really happy with the Sixers. Wow, you know, I got to come up there and watch them play the Nets. So and they whipped them. So I said, well, this game I'm going to sit down with my Carson Wentz jersey, which I had on. I had my Wells Fargo cup, and I sat down with the son. And it's the first time I ever. I mean, we sat at the game and watched it. And he's never done that with me before. And I told him, I said, you got to come here and watch the basketball game with me. He said, why? I said, because we were together last time they beat him. And you're
that's good work
here.
By you, man.
And we're going to sit in here and we're going to watch it together. And you're going to wear the stuff that you wore and we're going to enjoy it. And he did. He had a good time with it. He pointed out he remembers where we sat at. And, you know, it was just a really good time. But it was just good to see them watch them show.
You had all the bases covered. Native Philadelphian, Chuck. He's so dying to be part of the Philadelphia sports landscape. Isn't he, Chuck?
He is.
With the Wentz jersey on as he's watching the Sixers and Nets.
I hope he takes some time off, though.
Hey, Chuck?
He's always working. I know he says he likes working.
He's in the fields.
Yeah, but he's got to take some
fields.
Time.
You can't take time off when you're in the fields.
You have to for your own mental health.
No, he's just
working
got the
on
house.
Sunday. He's working. He's got to take a day. I hope the next time
he's
he calls.
He's just a worker, man.
Everybody needs a day. I hope Chuck calls and he says, yesterday I took it easy.
He's a worker with a Cat Diesel hat, man. That's the type of cat he is.
Yeah, but you don't think Chuck needs a day off? Chuck's going 100 miles an hour, seven
days.
Well,
you can't tell Farmer to take a day off. Can't do it.
You know what you end up doing? You get sick.
The farm goes if you take a day off. You got to maintain that farm every day.
Is he a farmer?
He works in the fields. I don't know.
I thought he does landscaping.
Oh, does he?
I thought.
No.
He's outdoors doing some stuff.
Yeah, he's definitely outdoors.
Yeah, he's doing stuff on his own property.
Didn't he build his house?
He built a tiny house. Yeah. Which is cool. I'm just trying to, everybody needs a day off. Not just Chuck, but every time Chuck, Sunday's
sure
working.
Chuck relaxes.
When?
I don't know.
He's calling us. He's under a house working on something right when he's on the phone. Sunday, day of rest. He's working while tired.
It's country living. It's different than you and I know. Country living is you work for 6 hours, you take a lemonade break on the wooden porch, and then you go back out for three.
My grandfather grew up farming. Sunday was the day of rest. You went to church. You took it easy on one day a week. You got to get one day. Checks always work.
Two open lines, 610-632-0975. The praise is sparing when the Sixers do something. But when the Heat's on, oh, the people just love to give the Heat. They weren't expecting a thromping last night, were they?
A lot of people thought they were going to lose.
I think I just made up a word.
A thromping?
Thromping?
A thromping.
What's like a stomping?
And a throwdown.
It's a commingled word.
A throwdown and...
A thromping.
Yeah.
All right, Bowden in Yardley, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bowden.
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
What's up, man?
Good, man. Hey, Tyrone. Hi, Natalie. Tyrone, you were right with Golden State on Friday. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome.
Hey, Mike, question for you.
Uh-huh.
Remember the calls I've been calling in, and what have I been saying through the radio waves the last couple weeks about the defense?
Uh-huh.
Remember when I brought up that line, and you guys kind of giggled at the end when I said, remember the Titans?
Yeah.
And then basically Brett Brown dropped the hammer like Denzel did in the same movie.
Yeah, he did.
That's what I was kind of relating to.
Yeah, but, you know, that goes so far. You know, I think you have to let guys know that they have the pedigree to play differently and better. And if it takes a yelling and screaming, they got the message. But a guy like Brett Brown can't do that a lot because that's not his personality. Herman Boone, and remember the Titans, it was his personality.
Correct.
You know? You can't be Brett Brown tough guy in people.
No, I know, but I believe in Brett Brown. I think he is a good coach because he's got the pedigree from Greg Popovich. So I believe in him. But he did it at the right time when they needed it, because now the Sixers play defense, they play toughness, they crashed the boards, they boxed out, they played the fundamentals of basketball.
They did, and they made little tweaks, and whoever was responsible for them, I ripped their assistant coaches yesterday, too. But if you noticed, when they were trying, the Nets were trying to get J.J. Redick in advantageous switches, in other words, to get him switched on D'Angelo Russell, the Sixers avoided that for the most part. They got JJ, then he went with Harris, and they recovered with somebody else on D'Angelo Russell to avoid that mismatch. Those little nuances are great coaching moments.
Correct. That's why I believe in Brett Brown, and they're going to whip the next two games. Hey, question for you, Mike.
Yes.
Is there any openings for your golf tournament? I'm going to see if I can get in with my pal.
Go to the website, man. Right now is when you got to get in.
I did. I couldn't. It said it was on Monday, June 7th. But
No. That's last year. No, it's May 16th.
Oh, it's May 16th.
Yeah, last year's May. I don't know where you get to June. May 16th, Thursday. Get on our website, 975thefanatic.com. Get in because the tickets go quick.
I'm going to bring my buddy for...
That guy, did he put that same joke on the air before?
Well, this one didn't make it. So. Uh-huh. I mean, I...
But I missed the joke. What was funny about that?
I don't get it. It wasn't funny.
Oh.
I like a good joke, even if it's inappropriate.
Same.
But that wasn't a joke. It was just...
He was saying that the insinuation is that his wife was engaging with him, but he threw a curve by saying she called me from the hotel, indicating she was with somebody else. It was a self-deprecating joke.
Oh.
Get
it?
Yeah, I get it.
I just
my wife finally gave me sex. She just called. She called from the or my wife finally had sex. She called me from the hotel.
Oh.
Yeah. You know.
All right.
It's not funny.
Also, it seems so out of left.
It needs a little lead up.
Yeah, you can't.
Then you deliver the punchline.
Yeah, you go right from golf to that.
Yeah, it's like the joke. Have you heard about the constipated mathematician?
No.
No.
He had to work it out with a pencil. It's like that kind of joke.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that one.
It's like, an, it's
mm-hmm.
like
but that one's like.
You know, it's like an opening salvo type of joke.
All right, so he was a symbol. All right, so he hits that. So he was about to go into some material after that? Like, that was a lead-off joke? How much was he going to give us?
I don't know. Right. Keon in Old City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Keon.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
What's up, Keon?
Just want to talk about the game last night. So the thing with Ben, we already know, you know, he was aggressive last night, but that's out of character for him. So... Oh, we expected.
Well, it's not out of character. We've seen it a million. Wait, how many times have we seen an aggressive Ben? It's not the first triple double he's had.
Well, It's not, but he's looking for his shot. That's not his personality is, you know, to look to pass the ball. But last night he was, you know,
engaged
about getting to the basket.
He was attacking the basket.
Right, more like a Russell Westbrook. That's what his game was last night, but that's not his game all the time.
Well, it's got to be his game.
It's got to be, but it's not. That's not who he is. So
but he learned from game one that the only way he's going to be effective because he can't shoot it is to play that way.
Of course, but we know that. We've known that all season, but that's not how he plays the game. A game after game. So last night, yeah, he did that because he felt, you know, he felt.
So you don't think it can carry over?
No, because that's not his personality. You can't just do that for one game. We already had an 82 game sample size, and we had last year. We know that's not his personality. You know, it gets to a point where we want him to be more aggressive.
He did it against Golden State, if you recall, in that regular season game, the last game. Listen, he got booed. Okay. He got booed in game one.
And that's what
now maybe, like, if you get booed, your personal pride is to do what?
Right.
I'm going to show these bastards.
He showed us for this game.
Yes.
He's going to fall back.
Yeah, but if he falls back, he knows what the ramifications that are. He's going to get torched again. So he doesn't have license to fall back now.
All right. Well, and also, Brooklyn did what they needed to do. They got a split on the road.
Nah.
So, of course, they go back home. We know younger players play better at home in the playoffs.
Dude, they got their heart transplanted last night.
They did. Also, I guess with the defensive change, the other thing I'm upset about is with Brett Brown. You came into that game, and you had that first game. You had that. Your team was just flat. That's on the coach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yesterday they played better in the first half, but they were still tied.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to yell at these guys to get them going in the second half. But that doesn't sit right with me. It worked, but that
In the first half, they still played better than they had played in game one, even though the score was tied. In the first half, I wasn't that worried, to be honest with you, because what I saw was an aggressive Ben Simmons. And an aggressive Ben Simmons changed the whole landscape. I didn't expect them to dominate the third quarter like they did, but I thought they were going to win that game going away. They just looked different last night, even in the first half when the Nets were making threes to keep themselves in the game. Khalif, Upper Darby, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Khalif.
What's up, y'all? Y'all know what I'm going to say. The Sixers won't ever go anywhere when they have a person running the point guard with no point guard skills, okay? When the Heat gets put on the pressure in the playoffs, on the weak link, the point guard, he's going to stop, turn around, and do nothing, okay? He has zero point guard skills. He's never ever, he can't keep the dribble going.
Mm-hmm. This is bad timing for you, man. This call didn't age well. This is bad timing for you.
I know.
This call would have been appropriate after game one. It's not appropriate for right now.
No, it's appropriate for the series two.
Series two, okay.
The point guard.
All right.
He's the weak link. He can't keep the jump shot. He can't keep the dribble going. He has zero point guard skill. It's like
Did he keep the dribble going last night? Did he defend their best player last night?
And he did it all season. He can run up and down all season.
Khalif, you didn't learn that it is like he can still be that effective playing that way?
And you guys know basketball, right? A point guard with no point guard skills can't shoot a jump shot. Okay, can't keep the dribble going.
That doesn't mean you can't win. This traditional point guard thing is like overrated. Is Harden a traditional point guard?
It reminds me of Randall Cunningham when he was the quarterback.
Yeah, give me the traditional point guards that win.
I'd rather have T.J. McCollum in him than him.
Well, that makes you. Who are you talking about? The guy from Portland or T.J. McConnell?
McConnell on our team.
Well, that makes you an idiot. And that's where I get the clip for you. Because as soon as you go there, you have labeled yourself idiot and neon sign across your forehead. Joe in West Philly, you hang in there. You'll be our next caller. We'll take a break. 610-632-0975. Rather TJ McConnell running the team than Ben Simmons, traditional point guard. I asked him a question. Here are the traditional point guards that win. It's just a traditional point guard on Golden State.
They don't have one.
He was a traditional point guard of Milwaukee, best team in the league.
Giannis is the point
Toronto
guard.
Has a traditional point guard in Lowry.
Yeah, he didn't score in game one at all.
But the traditional point guards, you know, Chris Paul doesn't win.
Nope.
All right.
Got to score.
Harden's really their point guard.
Yeah, he has the ball all the time.
610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show right here, 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, it is 2:46, Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, and we are back on television, NBC Sports Philadelphia. So welcome to our TV audience who covered the press conference at Independence Mall today regarding the All-Star Game being here in 2026, among other tidbits that came out at that press conference, which we will find out and then pass on to you. But last night, the Sixers, in a complete change of what we saw in Game 1, and, you know, I could list all the things they did to adjust and change, but you saw as well as I did. Ben was engaged in attacking, offensively and especially defensively on D'Angelo Russell. James Ennis gave him great defensive minutes by getting through screens, fighting through screens, helped defense. That's why they got him, right? J.J. Redick, who was... got into switches where in game one where he was helpless against guys like D'Angelo Russell, they did a different thing and they made sure that JJ wasn't switching on D'Angelo Russell, that the switches that occurred that took Redick off the ball went to Joe Harris. Little nuance. Tobias, much more confident. He was a plus 30 last night, which means he was confident offensively and defensively. A different Tobias Harris than we've seen in a long time. And the bottom line is, effort was shown last night. They were engaged. It's like, okay, it's time for us to show our wares. And that's what they did. And in doing so, I hope I'm not taking a big leap here, but I believe they took a little of the heart of the Brooklyn Nets away last night. If you look, Brooklyn looked dazed and confused by the end of that game. They're going, well, this is about all we can do. They took that away. So I know we're going home, but what else can we do? Six game series max. All right, some tidbits on the Mike Miss Open. Just got some word. The Mike Miss Open, the great charity golf tournament that we run every year, this year, Thursday, May 16th, at Ron Jaworski's Downingtown Country Club in Downingtown, PA. The proceeds benefit the American Association for Cancer Research. Now, we've told you that this always sells out fast. And by the way, we have a corporate sponsor this year, and it's the great people, Corona Premier, the new light beer that's out. If you have to go on the website and get a twosome or a foursome, right now, it's less than 24 hours since we announced this. 35% of the the ticket sales have been purchased.
Wow.
And within 24 hours, 35%. So if you're interested in getting involved in the tournament, you got to act quick. Don't lollygag. 35% within 24 hours is pretty good. All right, let's get back to the phones. Joe in West Philly. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Yeah, I bought all that 35%. Don't worry about
it. Awesome, man. Fantastic.
But you know what, man? I think you hit the nail on the head with James Harden. James Harden ain't the traditional point guard at all. You know what I mean? Not by any means. He played every position. He's not a traditional point guard at all. And he's
no, there's really, like, of the good teams, there's really one traditional point guard. Well, Kyle Lowry is.
Yeah,
and you know, teams in the West, you know, who's going to challenge Golden State?
Exactly. They like to run like
is Russell Westbrook a traditional point guard?
No.
And that's the team that everybody thinks is going to challenge Golden State.
But
so yeah, you got
to
control the ball any way you want. Now, the fact that he doesn't shoot it is a detriment. But last night he says, okay, I know that I can't shoot it, so I got to attack right away. I got to get to the basket.
And that's 6'10". And I think JJ Slow, he wasn't no slouch yesterday. They didn't take him through all the battle trying to keep up with Brooklyn, and they were still able to blow him out.
Yeah.
So I like that. And my thing about Tiger Woods, Mike, I want to say, Mike, you got to forgive Tiger a little bit. You got to remember when Tiger first came to Augusta, he wasn't welcome with open arms like that. Some dudes ain't even talk to him. I mean,
What are you talking about? What dudes?
The golfers when he first went to the Masters and all that back in the 90s.
There was one bigot who said something at a dinner. They knew Tiger Woods was the next coming.
But that was the feeling at that time. I mean,
stop making excuses. Right, he's been a miserable creep for most of his career.
I mean, but he had miserable creeps down to him when he was 22 and 21. A bunch of miserable creeps.
Give me him. List the top five miserable creeps that didn't welcome.
All I remember is Fuzzy Zeller.
Fuzzy Zeller is what you remember. That's it. You giving me another Fuzzy Zeller?
I mean, but he had the sentiment of the whole.
Oh, he did not. The sentiment of the whole world. Stop.
I don't know.
Fuzzy Zeller was a bigot, obviously.
And he didn't say it at a dinner. He said it in front of the media in the middle of the day.
Yeah, so Fuzzy Zeller was on an island. Nobody didn't allow Tiger into the game. Nobody resented. He was a star from day one. He captivated the golf world from day one, since his U.S. amateur days.
He captivated, but those people unhappy. They didn't like that dark skin at first. They did not. You're doing revisionist history because of now. In the beginning, they didn't like that dark skin.
You got Fuzzy Zeller, and that's all you got.
Fuzzy Zeller was the only one who said it in public.
Tiger Woods was one of the most popular athletes in the world right away.
As soon as he won that first Masters, yeah. But
no, it was not as soon as he won his first Master. He was the next coming. We knew about his amateur career. He was the next Jack Nicklaus.
He wasn't the biggest guy in sports until he won that Masters. And there was resistance back then.
Come on.
And that's why Sergio re-upped that joke a decade later.
Well, you give me Sergio, and you give me two guys out of a field of how many?
All right,
there's always going to be.
So who said something bad about Dustin Johnson? Zero guys. That's two more than any other golfer in the history of golf.
So you label bigots, but I look at the golf world. The golf world was totally captivated by Tiger Woods.
Once he won the Masters.
Sam in Lancaster, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sam.
How's it going, Mike?
What's up, Sam?
So I think they had to come out, you know, last night and put up 145 and win by 20-plus for me to even feel okay about, you know, the series going forward. And they did. I was happy with that. And I like the point you brought up that they did do all that and they didn't rely on Jimmy Butler scoring. He only had 7 points. I think that's a big factor right there.
Mm-hmm. Tobias Harris picked that up and that gap up.
Exactly. And that's why we have, you know, these four, you know, star type players. So we could do that. They came out in the first game, like, and they didn't play it like it was a playoff game by any means. And I don't know if it's because, you know, it's a divisional matchup. They weren't quite into it, but they didn't play like it's the playoffs. In the playoffs, you have to come out. You have to do things different, whether we like it or not. The way that teams play us, Ben Simmons has to be the aggressor at all times. He has to attack because of how defenses are playing and because it's going to open up. And it's not going to be pretty at all times if he's attacking just because of how defenses play him, but he has to continue.
Exactly. But you saw what he did last night. He attacked right away. Like he attacked in transition right away and got to the basket. And that says, okay, now I got to play the way I can play.
Exactly. They have to put that type of pressure on the defenses if they're going to play him that way. So they don't just from the gate, they have to do that. So they, you know, start to question themselves a little bit. And then, you know, things open up for people.
Exactly.
Also, you know, I don't know the exact status on Jared Dudley, you know, whether he's going to, you know, be back in this series or, you know, what his health status is. But he does do a good – he is a good defender in the league, has always been. He does, you know, make things tough for
Ben. That's not true. If I've got to worry about Jared Dudley in this series, then I better go on vacation.
I agree.
Seriously.
We shouldn't have to.
He's trying to control Embiid. So they have playing Embiid.
They put Jared Dudley on Embiid?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's a guy who's a defensive mastermind in the
that's
league.
That's not true! Come on, that's a mastermind. He's a doughboy.
He's terrible on defense.
He's a journeyman at the end of his career. I ain't worried about Jared Dudley. Come on, man. 610-632-0975 is how you get into the Mike Missanelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And also right now, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Back with your calls after this. And don't forget, coming up a little later, Tim Legler on the program for the first time in a long time. What's Legler, slumming, Ty? Coming on our show?
I'm glad he's back.
Legler, slumming. Back after this.